I've been making a lot of fajitas lately.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, it's a Geeky Boners episode. We talk about new seasons, old TV shows, and a kind of mediocre old video game.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Molly Glover.
Hello.
And Tim Wick.
Yo, yo, yo.
Yo, yo, yo.
Yo, 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 yo. Ho, yo, ho. A boner life for me.
That's right. It's a boner episode. A geeky boner episode where, if you haven't heard one in the past, we just kind of talk about what's turning our geek crank at the moment.
Crank the geek. Crank up the geek.
What are we hard about? What's got us two messing?
Right. What's making us rigid with interest.
Yes.
Molly?
Yeah.
What's got you going?
So, while I know that our people don't generally appreciate the Daystar,
it's true.
I am an outdoors person who does. And I think, you know, there's plenty of us who are outdoor geeks. And I actually, the weather in Minnesota has finally turned to proper true summer. And it is like 80 to 90 degree days with beautiful sunshine and the humidity, all of it. And I love it when it's hot. I like extremes. I like extreme temperatures. So I like the hot. I like the cold.
So you're like 30 degrees below,
yep,
105 degrees.
I really do.
With oppressive humidity.
Yep, I like when...
As long as the extreme isn't rain.
Yeah, I don't like rain just because it just ruins everything because you can't be outside. So like it's
if by ruins everything you mean you can't be outside.
Yeah.
If that is your threshold,
that's
for
why
ruining
yeah,
everything.
Yeah. But so I've been excited. I've been able to go running more, which has been great. We went for Wise Fools, we went and did this Art in the Hollow thing for Renfest and did a little performance, and that was outside. And we had a party last night that some friends were in town, and we were outside all night for that, and that was great. And I like being outside, which is unfortunate for Nick because Nick has terrible allergies during this time of year and cannot be outside really.
The month of June is rough, which is also when the weather's best for me.
I know.
As far as warm weather,
but like I'm really excited about. I'm just really excited about like. Like, it's the time of year, so what I do at work during this time of year, if it's a nice sunny day and I don't have anything to do at lunch that I have to, like, take care of, I have my camp chair in the back of my car. And my car is pretty little because it's a, you know, little Kia, so I have space in my space behind my car. So I'll pull my camp chair out and I set it up behind my car so that I'm not in the road or anything in a parking lot, but I'm still, you know, I'm safe. And I just sit out in the sun and listen to my audiobook and drink iced tea with my feet up on my car and like kind of tailgate my lunch. And people will come
That's
out.
That's awesome.
And everyone comes out and they're like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I'm laying in the sun for 20 minutes. What are you doing?" And it's like, "Oh, that's a great idea." And so it's super fun. And I just, because I'm usually just, you know, in tank tops or shorts or a skirt or whatever. And I just hang out and get some sun and recharge my batteries and then go back inside. And I'm ready to be back into the indoor world of no windows office again.
See, I do love outside. I think my biggest challenge is that when it comes to temperatures, I like temperatures between about 65 and 85 degrees.
Mm.
And in Minnesota,
you don't like
it's
humidity,
that temperature.
I'm
yeah, I don't like humidity at
yeah.
all. It pisses me off. and in Minnesota, we have that temperature range for about a week and a half a year.
Yeah.
It's not in consecutive days either.
No.
So
we get a lot of it at Fest, though. So you get a lot of that temperature
yeah, it's
during
true.
Renaissance
it's true.
Festival,
like
which
like during
is
the,
nice.
The last few weeks of Festival,
yeah.
you know, if the sun's out. And, yeah, oh,
yep.
I fucking love it.
Yeah.
And I mean, I do like outside. I mean, hell, this time last year, I as Facebook keeps reminding me, I was in Utah hiking for 2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I really enjoy being outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wish that I was a little more tolerant of weather. It's like you know, we've got some friends who have moved down to Austin, Texas. I have a lot of friends in Austin, Texas, and it's like, if anybody asked me why I would never move there, it's because it's over 90 degrees, like, six
half
months
year.
Out of the
yeah,
year.
Yeah.
And I fucking hate heat.
And
I,
it's a dry heat, but it's a hot heat.
It's a hot heat. I don't care. I don't care. I don't like heat. I have never liked heat.
Also, Texas.
I could live there. I could live in Austin.
Well, also, I couldn't live in Texas because it's like Austin may be the little blue dot in the middle of Texas, but there's still red everywhere else.
Yeah, you don't even have a uterus and you don't want to live there. That's saying something.
Molly feels the way I feel about... Hang on. Texas or Austin is to Molly and me. As like Seattle is to me and Molly.
See, Nick's perfect. Nick could live in Seattle very easily. It'd be Nick perfect weather. Cloudy, rainy. Like when it's sunny, it's nice. It's temperate. It's breezy.
If it's overcast and wet, I'm fine with that as long as it's cool.
Yeah.
I don't mind that.
And I am solar powered. When there's clouds, I get so tired. And if
it's amazing the two of you match each other so
I know.
Well,
if it's if it's cloudy days out, if it's like we had a string of rainy days here maybe 2 weeks ago, it was like for a week straight, it just rained and it was clouds and it was, and if it wasn't raining, it was
and
super overcast.
And you were probably just cranky as fuck.
I was so tired. It wasn't even crabby. I was just tired. I didn't want to do anything. Mm. I didn't want to go anywhere. Crabbiness I had was like, oh, do we seriously have to do that kind of a thing? Like, but when it's sunny like this, it's been sunny for days now, and I have so much energy, I'm barely sleeping, so it's pretty great. All right,
so
that's my boner. I'm super rock hard for the weather.
Yeah, Tim, what's your boner?
Well, it's a very recent boner. I actually just started Netflixing Parks and Rec.
Nice.
Because and this happened. I thought Pat had watched it. But apparently she hadn't. But Friday night of this week, Pat was out with friends, and I was home with the kids. We went out to mini golfing at Can Can Wonderland, which, by the way, if you're in the Twin Cities, check out their mini golf course.
Can Can Wonderland.
Yeah. Pretty fucking cool.
We need to go.
And it's like 5 blocks from my house. But anyway, so we went out mini-golfing, and we got home, and the kids went to bed, and I'm like, well, what am I going to do? There's a series Pat and I are watching together. I can't really watch that. So I'm like, oh, I'll give Parks and Rec a shot. And I feel bad that I had not watched Parks and Rec up to this time. It's always been one of those, oh, I want to watch that. I'm really, really liking it. I know the first season, everybody says the first season is not as good as the rest of the series. But I enjoy the first season. It may be because I'm such a big fan of The Office, and obviously it's got an Office vibe. But I like it better because the Amy Poehler character is not as obnoxiously annoying. I mean, she's kind of clueless at times, but she's got what we would define as a good heart.
Yeah.
Compared to Michael Scott, who's just kind of fucking annoying sometimes.
Yeah, he is.
And dense.
Selfish.
And
greedy.
He's the sum of his negative characteristics who you like in spite of them. Amy Poehler's character is the sum of a lot of great characteristics that you love because of.
Yeah. And so I'm just, you know, I'm enjoying watching Chris Pratt before he's Chris Pratt.
Yes.
Yeah.
When he's Andy Dwyer.
Oh, man.
That's why we were like, wait, Andy Dwyer's going to be Star-Lord? Like, everyone was like, okay. And
perfect fit.
But and it's not to say that Chris Pratt sucks or by any means, or that I don't like him as Star-Lord.
No, it's just more that he was an overweight, schlubby loser character.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So that's how you met him. That's how you think of him. Yeah.
Tim, do you know the story of why Chris Pratt gained weight?
No.
Because he was, before Parks and Rec, he was ripped kind of like he is for Guardians. They kept casting him as like a romantic part or like a dumb guy or whatever.
Yeah.
He's like, I just want to do comedy. Like, I just want to make people laugh. I just want to be funny. And no one was casting him as those roles. So he gained like 40 pounds and they started putting him in comedy roles.
Huh.
Yeah, right?
Because funny guys are fat.
Kind of, though.
I mean,
how about this? Maybe not funny guys are fat, but if you aren't fat, you don't need to be the funny guy is the message, I think, unfortunately.
I love the Tom character, the
Tom Haverford.
Tom Haverford?
Because he's so understated. And every time he's on the screen, you're like, what's he going to say?
Yeah, yeah.
And he's got these facial expressions. Half the time, he doesn't have to say anything.
So that character is Tom Haverford. The character that Aziz Ansari plays in that stand-up movie was named, like, Chad or something. And then there was some other thing he was in where he had a name, like, it was like Jeff. And he's like, people keep talking. He did a roast. He was like, you all keep talking about, you know, you know, Indians playing, you know, Indian roles and everything like that, and all these funny Indian jokes. Well, let me just tell you, last three roles I played were guys named Chad, Jeff, and Tom.
I know.
I'm coming for you. You know, like, it was so good. Like,
yeah. Yeah, he's great because he's such a dick.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
He's such a knowing dick. He's a very smart dick.
They all the characters grow really well with time. And change and adapt and have their own path.
Every character on that show changes in a way that is like, oh, awesome. Or they develop,
well,
or you find out more about them.
What's interesting to me, actually, is what I did was, it must have been like when we had a babysitter over to watch our kids during OmegaCon or something. Because I like pulled up Parks and Rec and I saw that it had been watched like season 4. I'm like, oh shit, Pat's been watching this for a while. I can watch a fuck ton of this and it doesn't matter. I thought I hit start from beginning, and what it did was started from the beginning of the episode that had been watched. So I watched one episode from season 4.
Oh shit, what'd you see?
It was like the first episode where Poehler's character is now a city councilwoman.
Yeah, all right.
And then I go back to watch season 1. I'm like, wow, I'm really intrigued.
Right?
To see how all of these characters got from where I'm watching them now.
Yeah. Oh, that's exciting. There's all kinds of. Oh, that's great. You saw all kinds of cool Tom shit.
Like the one character that I like the least is gone. I'm like, sweet. He doesn't stick around very long.
Oh,
city planner guy.
The Mark.
Yeah, Mark. Oh, yeah. He's just like, whatever, fuck
yeah.
him.
Yeah, the guy who looks like his name should be Mark.
He's just kind of boring. He's the most boring of all the characters.
Yeah, the one that Anne's dating for a while something. Yeah.
And it's just like, so I've got this excitement of, I can see where this is going. I've seen now a little bit of where it's going.
That's cool. Oh,
and
I'm glad.
That there's a lot of character progression. I'm excited to watch it. I'm really enjoying it.
I would highly recommend, as you finish a season, go find the blooper reels on YouTube for each season.
Yeah.
The blooper reels are 30 to 40 minutes long because they improvise so much the show that, like, some of the very funniest moments are improvised, without a doubt. And
what they
cut is usually something that couldn't have made it because it's network television.
Or because everyone just started laughing so hard that it was just too much. Like,
there's one that sticks out in my mind is, like, Amy Poehler's character is like, everyone loves a comeback story. You know, so we need to change this, our mode of attack
here. Famous comeback stories.
We need some famous comeback stories. And people are saying, John Travolta, blah, blah, blah. And Andy Dwyer goes, Kim Kardashian. And she's like, I don't know if that's really a comeback story. He goes, well, in that one movie she did, she definitely got cum on her back.
Yeah, it's so great. And he says it straight-faced. And just like the way Andy Dwyer does. Like, you know? And then, like, everyone around just loses it. Like,
The episode I just finished watching, which I thought was hilarious, the thing that stuck out for me was the boss, Tom. Mm. It's the episode where he throws out his hernia. And the entire episode, he's just sitting in his chair at this one angle with this flat facial expression, which shows he's in unbelievable pain.
Ron?
Was it Ron?
Ron, Tom Haverford, Ron.
I could have sworn they were both named Tom. But
No.
It's Ron.
Ron.
Ron. And it's just like, I can handle, you know, I can normally handle it, but this morning I accidentally sneezed.
Oh, yeah. Like, he's always in pain, but today it's the pain you can't handle. Yeah. Yep.
It's just that little piece of the episode.
He's so great.
Ron's great. So a lot of Ron's character is based on Nick Offerman. All of the woodworking projects that Ron does are actual woodworking projects and things that Nick Offerman has made. Because he is a crazy outdoors guy.
Yeah.
Nick,
Yo. Now that we've heard about Tim's civil boner, what's your boner?
I'm way behind. So I bought XCOM 2 for the Xbox.
Yeah.
And I've played it for like 2 hours so far. And I really love it so far, but I'm excited to play a bunch more because I've been playing the XCOM series since XCOM UFO Defense for the PC, which is, shit, I don't know, 30 years or something.
So you've been playing it since you were 5?
I didn't even know you were that old, Nick. No,
I've been playing XCOM since our first or second computer.
Okay.
No, it would have been in the mid-90s.
Okay.
So I would have been like 10, 11, 12, something. But But still, you know, more than 20 years of this franchise has been around. FFG did an amazing board game based on the kind of rebooted series where that you have to use an app to, like, time yourself to accomplish goals. So XCOM is kind of two parts, typically. There's the actual fights and stuff are like a grid-based isometric view, like three-fourths, squad-based tactical combat.
Okay.
You move, you shoot, you have some powers and abilities, you want to take cover, and you want to keep your people together and advance slowly and carefully. Because when your people die, they're dead, and you have to train new soldiers, and that's expensive. And if you don't pick up their body and get their equipment, or if you flee, you can lose all your guns and stuff, or you know, in some games, that's the way it is. Then the other, so, incredibly deadly, careful, tactical combat is one aspect of the game. The other side of the game is kind of a project management simulator. You start with every XCOM game with soldiers that have Terran weapons that are, you know, kind of like machine guns and sniper rifles and pistols and stuff, shotguns that you'd expect. But as you're capturing and defeating aliens and taking their equipment back and their bodies back, you're assigning scientists to do autopsies that take time and getting results that can eventually give your soldiers psionics, or you can start building plasma rifles as you harvest enough alien alloy and discover enough of their technology. And so, but there's kind of this other aspect to the game where, like, to beat your enemy, you kind of have to become your enemy a little bit because they're so far ahead. But a traditional XCOM game is your UFO defense. You're funded by the UN. You need to make sure to keep everyone in the world protected and happy. Otherwise, you start to lose funding. In this game, XCOM 2, they assume we lost XCOM 1.
Oh, cool.
The aliens are in charge of the planet. They have a brutal fascist police force, which turn out to be human-alien hybrids. And you are guerrilla resistance fighting your way through this alien uprising. So instead of having, like, just money, you still have money, you still have credits, but you also have intel as a form of currency. So sometimes you're spending intel to find out where alien bases are so you can slow down their projects before they finish, like, a super weapon. Sometimes you're using intel to find out where they're holding a VIP so you can go on a rescue mission and then go down to the tactical view to go save someone,
so you're
and bring,
like,
them back.
Spending it kind of
as
currency.
It's another currency.
That'd be a cool way to do the Expanse game, like you're saying.
Yeah. And like I said, I'm only a couple hours in, but once you get through the, like, tutorial hand-holding type stuff, I'm really on board, and I really like it so far, quite a bit.
So, with the intel thing, do you have options? Is it like, well, I can choose to use the intel to find out this piece of information, which might give me this equipment or this special troop or something like that? Or I can do this other thing, which might give me this bit of...
Sometimes
it's
both.
Like a tough choice.
XCOM is all about giving you, like, two bad decisions.
Okay.
All the time. So often you'll be like, oh shit, there's a terror attack over here that I need to go respond to. Oh shit, at the exact same time, something else is happening here. And you kind of have to either split your resources, which is usually a mistake, or pick which one you are going to lose and not do. And sometimes with intel, it is kind of like a zero-sum game where it's like, crap, we can either prevent them from doing this thing, which will suck, or we can prevent them from doing this thing, which will also suck. Which one do I want to live with for the next month? Less funding or one of my soldiers being gone? But sometimes with your intel, you're going to a black market and trading intel for... You know, like a store buying stuff, very transactional. Other times, you don't know that you don't have enough intel to do a thing until it pops up and says, hey, there's this problem. You can spend intel to fix this. Sorry, you don't have enough. And so,
that makes sense, you know? Like, that's the way the news goes. Like, yeah, you wouldn't know that what was going to happen.
It's, XCOM is, like, some motherfuckers always got to ice skate uphill. Like, XCOM is ice skating uphill. You are always at a disadvantage. You are always outnumbered. They always have better weapons than you. They always have some sort of advantage. And in this game, that fits so well thematically with being a resistance fighter. Mm-hmm. And you're actually the same commander from XCOM 1. At the end of XCOM, when you lose, the aliens take you and put you in some sort of stasis chamber and put a chip in your head to study you or something. Sure. You don't even know yet. I could be a clone. I could be the bad guy. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're talking to you through the fourth wall, like you, the player, this commander. And so they're like, it's been 20 years. We got some bad news for you. You know, your lead engineer, Shen, is dead, and good luck.
Yeah.
We rescued... The first mission is a rescue mission where you're breaking into a place through tutorials to rescue the commander that is you, the player.
What are the aliens like?
Are they
insectoid? Are they like hive minds?
That's funny. One of the aliens species is called the Sectoids.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
But they look like grays.
Okay.
They're slender, big bulbous gray heads. They have, they can do mind control on your... Marines, your soldiers.
Oh, wow.
And they can mind control your guys and make you shoot your own guys.
Okay.
Last night when I was playing, they hit one of my soldiers with a mind control attack, and it caused them to panic. But so what my soldier did for their turn was blindly run across the corner straight into an alien... freak out, pull out their shotgun, and shoot it in the face.
Well, that worked out.
So it worked out. But sometimes they freak out and they, you know, drop a grenade, or sometimes they fuck up. And then there are usually a lot of different types of aliens, and they are not one planet of origin.
Mm-hmm.
They've been going around conquering planets and civilizations and adding to their collection or, you know, menagerie and genetically tinkering with everyone that they get along the way. So the Sectoids in this game look different from the Sectoids in the last game because they've been tinkered with over 20 years. Huh. They're not above that. It's kind of a caste system a bit. But some of the aliens are like pure energy beings. There's this weird glitchy thing that I had to kill one of recently that was... able to clone itself, but like by appearing in our dimension more than once. So you'd shoot it and hurt it, and as a result, it would react, and all of a sudden, there'd be a second copy of it up behind you on a ledge or something. But if you kill one, they both disappear because you're removing them from our dimension.
That's kind of cool.
There's some neat stuff in there. Yeah. I like it. I like having to research and build and all that. And I don't know. It's a fun series. And the new one, it's been out for a while. I'm way behind. But I'm digging it so far. I'm really excited to play more. I was playing, trying to get in like 15 minutes before Tim showed up to record even just today.
I was early.
No regrets. I got in a few minutes. That was good. Yeah, and then, you know, you go to your worldview and you flip the clock on and time starts passing as you're researching and you're, like, praying that you research your new type of gun before another attack happens. And
but
then,
not like praying, right?
Not like praying, no. Like, you're strongly hoping and crossing fingers. Yeah. Anyway, XCOM 2. It's good.
Sounds great.
Fun so far.
Nice boner.
Yeah.
Nice
boner. Thanks.
Yeah, healthy.
My boner is alien and genetically modified to the strength of humanity.
Right hook from Kimbo.
Yeah, totally. So, I think it's time for five questions.
Five questions!
Molly, who do we have answers from?
We have five answers from Brian Z.
Thank you, Brian Z.
He says, I was supposed to be the last of the old ones, but then he got snuck under by Jeremy and some other people.
Oh, sorry,
he says,
Brian.
So maybe I'll be the first of the new ones.
Nope.
Yeah, I know, right?
our first question, What conspiracy theory do you find most interesting?
The theory that PSYOPs doesn't actually stand for psychological operations, but psychic operations.
What?
I had a friend who claimed to be part of the psychic special operations team, where they could do things like sense people through walls, smell blood as good as a bloodhound, etc. I'm 99% sure now that he's lying, but I'd like to believe that the X-Men are real and funded by our government instead of by some bald paraplegic.
It's the men who stare at goats.
Yep. Limetown, that podcast that had as a boner many moons back. Limetown's all about that, about that shit, and putting doing chips in people's heads to make that work. Yeah,
I'm just saying, you know, that would be pretty cool if it was true, but you know, the whole paraplegic thing. He was the most powerful.
Yeah, he's only a paraplegic
psychic in the world.
He can
literally make everybody in a room freeze.
Yeah. It's a little, you know.
without it, look, it's not like he even holds his fingers up to his head.
Yeah.
It just happens.
I would be less happy with an X-Men funded by our government, actually. Yeah.
You know how I know this stuff doesn't exist is because rich people aren't buying it.
All right, question number two. What is your perfect two-week vacation? Money is no object. Physics, however, is a limiting factor.
A Baltic Sea cruise that includes at least 1 week in Estonia.
Oh, sure. Estonia, I know nothing. I know where Estonia is. I know nothing about the history of Estonia.
Yeah.
It's where they lie that their thawed caveman is from in Encino Man.
Oh.
They tell people he's from Estonia.
So maybe you're hoping to find a frozen caveman.
Or just Brendan Fraser.
He's been missing from a lot of things lately.
Fraser. Sorry, Brendan. Sorry. Question three. What's a movie that changed your life?
It's just so hard. The Truman Show is the first time I remember thinking skeptically in my entire life. Suddenly, the world was turned upside down. What if things aren't what they seem, and how would I know? Sadly, I didn't actually apply any of that skeptical thought for another 20 years, but it made me view things differently than I would have without the movie. Alternately, Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
Mm.
I think the play and movie are crap, but it's the first time I ever watched something that celebrated anything in the LGBT asterisk spectrum, and it changed what I thought the world could contain. Unfortunately, I had to downplay my amazement because I watched it with my conservative Christian girlfriend who did not agree that being gay was something to be celebrated. Mm. Thankfully, she's changed her mind, and we can now have gay friends. Smiley face.
It could. Now I'm like, progress. Is his girlfriend still conservative Christian?
Or, I don't know.
She can't be as conservative Christian because...
Yeah.
Because she...
Not that conservative, at least.
You're saying there's hope.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
If somebody can watch that and be like, watch Hedwig and the Angry Inch and go, oh, that's awful.
And then
later realize, well, I mean, hopefully can go, oh, wow, when I thought that, I was a horrible douche. That's what I hope.
Yeah.
I don't know your girlfriend. I'm sorry to speak ill of her, but at that moment, she was a horrible douche. Just was. So question number four, what is the geekiest thing you've ever done?
I spent a month creating and playtesting a Borderlands-based tabletop RPG, complete with random loot drops, separate characters with powers, and graphics for a single game at a gaming convention. That was the same convention that I ran a Pokemon-themed game where Pokemon battling had been made illegal, and Ash Ketchum discovered that the only things he was good at were rendered useless, so he had to eke out a living in underground Pokemon fighting arenas controlled by Team Rocket. I still feel bad about what happened to Pikachu in that game. I take it back. That last sentence is probably the geekiest thing I've ever done or said.
Awesome. And question number five, what's your favorite hangover cure?
Not getting one. I've only been really drunk once. I just don't like the feeling that alcohol gives me when I start getting dizzy, so I don't drink much. The first time I ever got drunk was during a 7-course dinner where some fancy sommelier paired wine with every course, and I didn't actually realize how much wine was being poured into our glasses. This is what I love about this question is we were all like, and then this isn't going to be a great question for Tim or whatever, and then it's like more people are like saying that they don't drink much.
The number of answers that I don't drink.
It's pretty great.
I feel a little bit vindicated. I'm not the only nerd who doesn't drink that.
Yeah.
We've had more non-drinkers or people who are not enthusiastic about drinking than people who are. By far.
Right?
Not the drinking. I always.
It's not a moral thing.
It's not a moral thing.
Yeah.
Just don't like the taste. Yeah. Brian closes by saying, on a completely different note, we purchased season tickets to the Minneapolis Broadway tours.
Ooh.
Thank you so much for plugging that into one of your shows, because we're really looking forward to it.
Awesome.
That's
great. Now influence the lives of one of our listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much, Brian.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate your answers. If you want to send in your answers to our five questions, please send them to fivequestions@geekswithoutgod.com. If you're a Patreon supporter, mention that when you send us your answers, because we'll bump you to the top of the list, unless someone else who's a Patreon supporter is there before you, in which case you'll be second on the list.
We'll bump you to the top-ish of the list.
Yeah.
The top of the Patreon list. The top of the list.
The bottom.
God damn it.
We'll bump you to
the
bottom
of
the
Patreon
list,
which is the top of the regular list.
I think they understand.
Pedantry.
Yeah.
They understood from the beginning. Now we're just being...
Yeah. And as we said in the last episode, we had a big handful of new Patreon subscribers since we had recorded last, which is great. Thank you so much for your support. I know at least one of those people is going to get a button and sticker because they're throwing us $5 a month, which is slick. We have a bunch of different, you know, button colors and all that jazz, and we'll get you whichever ones you want, basically. We are going to be at Convergence. It'll be our fifth anniversary.
Yes.
Our fifth birthday.
3:30 on Saturday.
3:30 on Saturday at Convergence.
Firm. Joseph Scrimshaw is a guest. And we're still working on our second guest.
Yeah. So keep an eye out for more about Convergence. We'll probably do like a Convergence, you know, our all panel schedule episode again, but leading up to Convergence.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guessing we'll probably be recording with some folks at Convergence outside of the panel as well as we do. It's a good opportunity to touch base with some folks and get some interesting recordings done.
Yeah, even if we don't record about Convergence and what we're going to be doing, if we don't have time for that, because we've got a lot of great guests lined up
for
the next few days,
we can
always make a post on Facebook
or
on the website that explains where we're all going to be and when.
No doubt. We'll have that for you one way or the other. And thanks for listening. Hopefully we'll see some of you at Convergence. If not, you'll hear us next Tuesday.
Bye.
Bye. Burt Macklin from the FBI says, go rate us on iTunes.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
I think we should go and edit the questions on the website.